Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, I still want to ask you, where were you yesterday? Oh, my goodness. We had some system issues over here on Blog Talk Radio. And still never got an answer as to what was going on. Yeah, they pretended like they didn't know that I couldn't have been the only one that got up, that could not have gotten on yesterday, that was prevented to go, you know, even into the phone system. Those of you who were calling and logging in, you expressed, you know, similar issues, especially those of you who called in. The call number wasn't even working. And I have to tell you, on Monday, because yesterday was Tuesday, on Monday, we spiked to 622 listens in one day. Yes, 622 listens. And I don't know, but you know what happens when you get, you know, some stuff like that going on in your life? Of course, you know what that's about. Yeah, and I checked the statistics this morning, and Cambodia is going buck wild for its due time with Pastor Steph. Yes. Yes, for the past 2 weeks, Cambodia is eating up listens from the United States. Yes. Yeah, so let me just give you a little piece of information here since I don't have a recap for yesterday. So we get a demographic each day regarding our listens and, you know, where we get our highest, the top five countries. And I just want to share with you that United States is number one, Cambodia is number two, Mexico is number three, and Mexico just came out of nowhere. I don't know if I told some of you that, yeah, it was a few weeks ago, Canada and Spain were fighting for that number five, spot. And finally, Russia won. So Canada has been number four, and Russia has been number five for about 3 weeks now. And Spain was sitting at number three. And all of a sudden, when I looked yesterday morning, Spain was gone out of the number three spot, and Mexico was sitting up in there. Now, Russia, Cambodia, and Mexico. Now, these people don't speak our language. They don't speak English. As a matter of fact, if you go on, you know, into their website over there, especially for the Cambodian website, everything is in Cambodian language. Yeah, I surely didn't know what it said. But when you look, the only thing on that site That was English. Was it Due Time with Pastor Steph and all of our episodes? Yeah. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Yes. So, you know, we had some, we've been getting some traction over there in Cambodia. Yes. Because they are hot. They're climbing higher. This morning when I opened up, it was higher than yesterday. So I don't know. You know, when you get on that website, the only thing I could read was Due Time with Pastor Steph and the other link that said translate. I was like, wow, this is us. This is us. Can you imagine going over to Cambodia and they would know who we were? Woo! Isn't God great? Isn't God great? You know, it's amazing. Amazing. You know, I'm really amazed at God. And, I mean, you're talking about little old Stephanie sitting up in her basement, dizzy, can't get up and go to a regular conventional job. And God gives me this broadcast, and we are in countries that don't even speak our native language. And, you know, how do you even explain, what's going on? Hold on, check this out, I almost missed this. Yesterday, we did not get on, right? Okay, so we couldn't get on, so we had no... Isn't today the 6th? Yesterday's the 6th. Well, I just hit the listen for yesterday. Are you ready? 744, baby. 744 listens. I'm bragging about what we did on Monday. Yesterday, we weren't even on live. 744 hits. Oh, my goodness. God is exceptionally great. No explanation. You know, a few weeks we went down, and, you know, that was after an incident, and, you know, it wasn't the end of the world incident. We ain't talking about that. You know, not Pastor Kim's, you know, ending times. And, you know, so you kind of associate things together. You know, you put these pieces together. And so there was, if we wanted to attribute it to that, then we could have. But yesterday was really just mind-boggling because, and you know, things happen. Things just happen. You know, things just happen. But, you know, when you're walking the Christian walk, you always try to find, at least for me, you know, when things go awry, I always try to, you know, associate it with something. I go into prayer, and, you know, I always ask God, you know, if it's something that Stephanie is doing, you know, bring it to me, let me know. See, I'm not like a lot of other people who's scared. I don't want to, you know, if my life has been dedicated to pleasing the Lord, then when things don't go a certain way, yes, there are things that happen, you know, as people say. I don't like to use that phrase, so I'm not going to even say it. But I always know that God is in the middle of everything. Good, bad, right, wrong, indifferent, God is there. So when things kind of slip off the beaten path, I always go to God and look, okay, I just need to make sure that this is not Stephanie. Did I do anything? So I started backtracking in my head. Yeah, yesterday morning I was like, well, what did I do? And I was like, okay, God, it ain't my fault this time. I did nothing. I was obedient. I was paying attention. I did what I was supposed to do. I even did something that I wasn't supposed to, that I thought that you wanted me to do that I didn't even want to do. So, yeah, you know, wasn't me. And I got no answer. When I got on this morning, Block Talk had no, you know, generally they say, you know, we've had some system difficulties, but, you know, it should be fine and blah, 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 blah. There was no explanation. They had the nerve to ask me a question and said, our engineers are looking into it for you. I'm like, yo, what kind of mess is that? And so I did say to them, okay, so you're going to act like nobody else had this problem but me? Out of all your radio shows, because they're loaded. They're loaded. They have a lot of radio shows. Stephanie's the only person that had a problem. Really? So I can't, you know, you're talking to the air right now because they're behind us. They're like 3 hours behind us, wherever they are. And when I look now at, what number did I say? 700 and something? I'm trying to find it. 744! See, if I was a number player, I'd be playing that number. Ah, 744. Whoa. And we weren't even on yesterday. So God is active at all times. Yes, if you had to get that reminder, let me just remind you that God is active at all times. Ooh, 744, 622 the day before. Oh, wow. God is amazing. God is amazing. So you know what? We got a lot to rejoice about today, especially those of us who minister. And, you know, always encourage them, you know, get yourselves together because you're not just ministering in your local church. You're not just ministering to your next-door neighbor. You know, if I'm telling you that Cambodia is moving higher and higher and higher every day, eating up listens from New York, United States, somebody else is listening to you that you don't even know, that you haven't even had the privilege of meeting, but they're tuning in to listen to us. So how about we do a Cambodian tour? Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm just in awe of God. And here's what I want to encourage you to do today. I want you to watch God. You know, last week's switch tip was pay attention to God. And I have to tell you that I'm paying attention to God. Pay attention to the things that are happening in your world and your life, and it will indicate whether you're doing something right or whether you're doing something wrong. It has to, because there are promises that God has made us, and we want to make sure that we get those promises for the righteous. Yeah. So we are experiencing a surge upwards, and God is blessing us for the things we do. And, you know, we got to make sure that we continue to stay on that path. So, you know, today is have reached the middle of the week untouched, and we are so grateful to God that we have been awakened on Wednesday. We are halfway through the week. You know, what did you do yesterday? What did you do yesterday? Did you do something, you know, exceptional? Did you, you know, make sure you paid attention to God? Did you get that extra prayer in? Yes. Well, I just want to, you know, help you all know that I've been getting inbox messages and phone calls about Sunday's prayer group. And they have really, really, really been encouraging and phenomenal. Oh, I loved it. This is just what we need. I love it. It was so good. And I just give God thanks. I give God thanks for being such a wonderful, wonderful God that is faithful to us, because, you know, listen, you know, again, you know, I got this message that, you know, this is what I needed to do. And, you know, I looked at it and I'm like, wow, okay. And like I said, I looked at it. I looked at what God had given as a new responsibility, as a new task. And I was like, okay, God, you know, clearly, you know, like I said on Sunday, that, you know, if you're telling me to do this, that must mean it's doable. You know, I wasn't reaching out for something that I wanted to do, that, you know, I thought would be nice and so forth and so on. No, I reached out and, you know, did what God told me to do. And thus, look at what's happening. Ooh, you can see all the benefits from being obedient. So we got our girl Viv in the house, and she's waiting to come on and give us some of that juicy, socially conscious news. And get those, you know, pens out, because you don't know what she's going to give you. And make sure that you're also ready to get your listen on. So go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell a friend. Go, you know, find a good comfortable seat with a nice little pillow, and get settled, because we'll be right back.
Thank you to all the unsung heroes who have given blood, saving countless lives. Your efforts to help have not gone unnoticed, but there is still work to be done, and many more lives need to be saved. As a nurse who formerly worked in a trauma center and an emergency room, I know firsthand the importance of an adequate blood supply to save lives. We want to highlight the importance of donating blood because, simply put, donating blood saves lives. In America, someone is in need of blood every 2 seconds. Yes, every 2 seconds. So please, spread the word and tell everyone about the importance of giving blood. Take an hour out of your day and donate. Donating just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. And any time a life can be saved, it's a wonderful thing. So remember, 1 hour, 1 pint, 3 lives saved.
Good morning and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are here for Wow Wednesday. Yes, God has been so gracious to us to usher us into the middle of the week. And we're so happy to be together again. You know, when I'm not with you all, you know, I get like withdrawals, stuff like that. Ah. Well, you don't have to listen to me much longer, because our girlfriend Viv is here to give you the socially conscious segment. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
Yes. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. What you got for us today?
Okay, today on Socially Conscious, we're taking a look at those COVID numbers. Top 5 states and territories with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are: Texas is still number one with 62,972 cases in the last 7 days. That is a decrease of over 15,000 cases since last week. Number two is Ohio with 39,730 cases in the last 7 days. That is a decrease of over 3,000 cases since last week's report. Number three is Pennsylvania with 32,934 cases. That is an increase of over 1,000 cases since last week. Number four is Florida with 32,347 cases. That is a decrease of over 15,000 cases. And number five is New York State with 23,411 cases. New York State has not been in our top five before. So as we can see, we have a few surprises this week. New York State is in our top five states and territories with the highest COVID cases. That has never happened before. We've been pretty good with keeping our numbers down. But unfortunately, we've made it to the top five. Florida is not in our top three this week. They've been in our top three for the past couple of months. But they've managed to make it down to number four with some great decreases. So maybe soon they won't even be in the top five. We have to keep those numbers, you know, keep an eye on those numbers and see what's going on with them. And now for some local news, we have student loan debt. We know that student loan repayment has been paused since the beginning of the pandemic. Well, starting January 31st of 2022, student loan repayments will resume, even though there has been several companies shut down since the beginning of the pandemic. Navient, which is one of the well-known student loan companies, has just become the third student loan company to announce plans to end its services. But despite these shutdowns, the city has not extended the start date to end the student loan repayments. So again, starting January 31st of 2022, student loans repayments will resume. But please be careful out there, because we know scammers take every opportunity to try and get to us. And with new companies having to reach out to us to inform us that they have taken on our student loan repayment, there leaves great potential for scammers to try and get a hold of your information. So please be careful out there. There's not much advice that I can give regarding that. Just make sure you're taking the proper precautions to ensure that whoever you're sending your money to is legit. Next, we have a domestic violence story. In light of Domestic Violence Month, we have a story that is bringing awareness to the issue, as well as a huge flaw in the system. A single mom in Queens was attacked, chased down the street, and beaten by her ex-boyfriend, despite the fact that she had a restraining order out on him. Ms. Marquise told reporters that her ex-husband, Sincere Gaskins, was supposed to just pick up his belongings from her apartment and leave the night he attacked her. He attacked her in the home where she was able to run away from him, dial 911. He chased her down the street and continued to beat on her while she was on the phone with 911. Gaskins was arrested on Sunday and charged with assault. Studies show that NYPD has responded to more than 9,000 domestic violence complaints this year as of September 19, 2021, which is an increase compared to the 8,200 complaints from last year around this same time. Ms. Marquise and many other survivors of domestic violence say that restraining orders are useless. Studies show that an average of 24 people per minute are victims of rape, physical violence, domestic violence, and stalking by an intimate partner in the United States. Nearly 3 out of 10 women, which is an average of about 29%, and 1 in 10 men, which is an average of about 10%, are victims of domestic violence by an intimate partner. And we have a lot more statistics that we can share, but I just wanted to end this part by giving you that number for domestic violence, for the domestic violence hotline, which is available 24/7. The number is 1-800-799-SAFE. That is 1-800-799-7233. You can also go on to Domestic Violence Hotline website and chat live with individuals, as well as text if you would like to start a text subscription text START to 288-788. Again, all of these are available to you for free. They are confidential, and again, they are available 24/7. Our next story, we have a increase of fake pills that have been laced with fentanyl in the Atlanta metro area. Police in Atlanta are trying their best to get a hold of this new, I guess, pandemic that's going on. Reports say in one day alone, police seized more than 9,000 fentanyl-laced pills in Atlanta. Last week, a 28-year-old Gerald Gilbert died when he took his prescription pill that he thought was a painkiller, and it was actually a fentanyl-laced pill. He died, and the scariest thing is that there's nothing that we can really do or to know if the pills we are taking are what we think we're taking or if they're fentanyl-laced. And even though this is being reported in Atlanta, we know that that does not mean that this cannot make its way into other states. It's also been reported that more than 9.5 million counterfeit pills have been seized so far in 2021 alone. Again, not much advice that can be given here other than to just pray and make sure that wherever you're getting your pills from, it's from a legit pharmacy. You know, don't take anything from anyone because you just don't know what you can be taking. And lastly, we have an update on the Ahmaud Arbery trial. Travis McMichael and his attorneys, Travis McMichael, is the man who actually pulled the trigger and killed Mr. Arbery. Well, he has requested that the court ban a photo of his vanity license plate that displays a Confederate flag emblem. There has been no decision made. He's also, or they, the murderers, have also asked that the court not allow a body camera footage from the second responding officer to be played or allowed in the court during trial. They haven't really said why, but we know that it'll show how the McMichaels, their energy level once they killed him, because they claimed that this was self-defense, but I'm assuming that the video is going to show otherwise, that maybe they were excited about what they've done and things like that. So they're asking that this picture be banned. They're asking that this video be banned. And to me, I'm feeling like these attempts that they're trying to get these things retracted from the trial and things like that, it kind of shows their guilt. And it shows where the trial should go, but that's just me. And now we have our wow story of the week. There is a hit list that has been circulating social media with the names of high school students offering cash for students to be beat up. Parents are demanding protection for their children after a so-called hit list was discovered at Blue Springs High School in Missouri. The list has two columns. The first are the names of the children along with the reasoning why these children should be beat up and the price that would be paid if these children got what they quote-unquote deserved. The names of the children were, of course, blurred out, but they did show a version of the list that has been hitting social media, and some of the reasons are because one student has buck teeth, and they are paying $210 for this child to be beat up. Other reasons included he or she is a woman abuser, a closeted gay, a cheater, a sex offender, thinks that she is the sugar honey iced tea, and a whole bunch of other reasonings with different prices that will be paid for these children to be attacked. And this is part of our wild story, but because it just seems like kids are really just getting worse. We just talked about the TikTok challenge, the licks challenge that's challenging children to take and break school property. Now we have this going on social media. I'm not understanding why everything has to go on social media for one. And, of course, we'll be probably seeing these kids being attacked soon on social media because that's just what they do. Everything goes on social media. I've heard so many kids during the pandemic saying how much they miss school. They want to be back in person. They didn't want to be at home. And now they're back in school, back in person, and it seems like things are just getting worse. But this has been Vivian with the Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories that you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username is Vivian BM, and come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you. Listen, I need you to give me that list of that hit list. What are they for the $200 for whoever's Bucktooth or the cheaters and who else?
It was just a bunch of things. Some of them was one child is Bucktooth, so they deserve to be beat up. The other one is he's a closeted gay, a sex offender, thinks that she's the SHIT, a woman abuser, just different reasoning.
Okay. Ooh, I tell you, these are some stories. I don't know where you go to get these stories, but I tell you, they are some stories nonetheless. You know, they're... Well, first of all, let's just say amen to Florida, who is not in the top three, you know, for the COVID numbers. That's a lot to give God thanks about, you know. It's coming down. Texas doesn't seem to be going anywhere, but it's okay because the same way we see Florida going out, we're seeing Texas go down and down, excuse me, each week. And you know, it's a wonderful thing because now you feel a little bit safer and so forth and so on. So let's give God thanks. Yeah. So I want to say thank you, Vivian, for our news this morning. And we give God thanks for you, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, we have our ladies on today, and we want to have some chatting going on this morning about our news, as always. So let's say good morning to our Elder Nitesha Moore. Good morning, Elder Nitesha. Oh, I'm sorry. Good morning, Elder Nitesha.
Good morning, beautiful. How are you today?
I am wonderful, thank you. How are you?
I am great, thank you.
Good. We're so happy to have you on this morning. Oh, you heard all the socially conscious news. Woo!
Yes.
Outside of the domestic violence, outside of that one, which one do you want to talk about?
I mean, I think, you know, we could continue the conversation about our children and why we need to be praying for them, praying over them. I think, you know, what we're seeing, what we consistently see, and this has been, I think, a couple of Wednesdays, it's been a part of the Wild Stories, something involving children. And this should be an alert to us that our children are under attack, and that we really need to be doing something different. Like, you know, praying over our kids. I think our kids are bored. You know, it's not the same as it used to be. All of this just sitting in front of computers, idle time, right? Remember, Grandma used to always say, idle time is the devil's time. I think our kids are bored. They're not outside running and playing and exhausting themselves. Remember, we used to play until the post light came on, and then you went upstairs and you were too tired to try to think about creating a hit list to beat up other kids for things such as they buck tooth, I don't like their teeth. It just,
that you, they're bored. They're bored and without a moral compass. We need to bring our kids back to church, bring our kids back to Jesus.
All right. I'm going to put a stamp on that board, and I'm going to add some other things to it later. But, yeah, I agree with you. You know, it's not enough going on. You know, not only that, we used to be in dance. We used to be in, you know, we've had recitals. So that meant we had to be home practicing. And, you know, we used to be more into sports. And, you know, those type of things keep our children active. Like you said, you know, once you're active, you have a focus. And and if you find you know, if you look at most of the, you know, the statistics, those who are athletes, they may have gotten, they may get into trouble now, but growing up, they didn't have a lot of problems because they were too busy being active. So, like you said, you know,
I was going to say there was also a moral conduct that was associated with being a sportsman, right? Like there was great honor in it. I was talking to a fellow nurse that I met while I was on my trip, and she and I talking, we were talking about how the field of nursing has changed, and even why I left nursing, and she, it was so interesting, she left nursing, and it was because it became more about protecting the hospital than it was about patient services. And you became a nurse because you wanted to take care of people. But I think, again, just all of these things have shifted the moral honor about being a part of something is no longer emphasized, you know? And so that's why you can just, there's a lack of morality in the earth, right? Like there's no respect for humanity. We don't care about each other. We don't respect each other. As humans, we don't identify our differences and things of that nature. The enemy is running rampant, and those of us who are spiritual, I mean, I think it's, you know, we got to tap into it, and we have a responsibility to pray.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's get our lady Tamika on with this conversation. Let's say good morning, Tamika. How are you?
Good morning, good morning, good morning to you, good morning to our ladies, good morning to our listeners, and an extremely special hello to Cambodia. Yay!
All right, good morning, good morning. How are you today?
I am doing well. I am doing well. Thank you.
That's good, that's good. You know, Elder Daitisha just got finished talking about, you know, this hit list and our children. What would you like to add to this conversation?
I do agree that there has to be something that gets their attention. But, you know, what else can we do at this point? You know, the teachers are trying their best to teach in a different dynamic. And it's a lot of pressure on them, you know, whether it was, you know, it was a lot of a big change for the virtual, and now you've got them in the classroom, and they're breaking things, and they're, you know, hurting each other. I remember back in the day, you know, you used to write a letter, you know, or you had a, you know, I remember actually seeing a list, not that type of list, but it was something else. But now, you know, so you're not going to do it. You're going to have other people hit this person or beat this person, and then where does the money come? I mean, how do you? What are you, Cash App? I mean, technology has made it easy to do a lot of things and to get by and not necessarily say, I did it, you know. And the more, the greater technology that we have, the more easier it is to do that. And definitely, you know, we've got in an area where we say, okay, well, we'll let our child choose Jesus. It becomes all the more dangerous. Because you say, oh, well, mom and dad, you know, forced me. We often say that, you know, they forced me to church. But now your child has no, you know, not that beginning start. So now you decide that they're going to do whatever it is that they want to do, or you let them do whatever it is they want to do. And this is the end result. You know, the lack of Jesus causes all the more destruction.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, excuse me, as you ladies were talking about this compass that's immoral, you know, I have to jump on board with you. But here's something that I want to throw out there. Two things I want to throw out there. One thing I said a few weeks ago, but first I want to say there's no moral compass for our children because the adults have no moral compass. The more we look at these news stories, the parents, the adults, what are they doing? And number two, this would be a direct result of us not wanting God. And God is saying, okay, I'm just going to let go. Y'all have happy. Do what you do. I'm not going to cause anything to happen. You know, Shanti's brought it up in a switch tip. I'm going to leave you to a reprobate mind, and I'm just going to let you see how bad it gets. You know, I've been holding on to all of this all the time, and this is an indication that really, you know, and Lady Tamika, you touched on it. You know what? This is what happens. Elder Natisha, you touched on it. This is when we don't want Jesus, and these are the type of things that go on. Now, that filters into our... the pills laced with fentanyl. What wicked, sick mind takes pills that should be used for our health, and now the prescription drugs? I mean, probably, you know, a little more digging and research, you know, by the powers that be, we'll find out, you know, some other information. But this is the type of stuff that adults do. This is fun. This is games. You know, these are games. Lady Tamika, you know, you got pills that's laced with fentanyl. How do you know what to take? You know, this is what I'm talking about adults. What's your thought?
Absolutely. So you're in the house and you got a headache and you thinking you taking just a plain old aspirin. And, you know, family members are trying to figure out why you're spazzing out because you took something that somebody else decided to lace with fentanyl. And we keep hearing about this fentanyl from Michael Jackson and others who have taken it. So it's obviously very dangerous. How in the world did you get access to the fentanyl and then put it into, you know, who's doing it, you know, and we've got to find out the source of that. And my heart goes out to, you know, the lady who is expressing that she lost her relative because of fentanyl, you know. It's just evil, evil, evil. Who comes up with this type of plan? And you don't even look at the repercussions of somebody else's life. You just decide that you're just going to put it in a bottle and to the detriment of whomever. Because you don't even know if it'll end up in your own household.
Right, right. This is what I'm saying. And we're trying to figure out why the moral compass of the children are off. Well, these adults have lost it. And anytime, you know, this is, you just do these kind of things, you know, for fun. You do these kind of things, you know, some level of amusement or whatever, you know, I want to give you a quick example. The other day, I don't know how we got to talking, and my granddaughter, who's six, we were talking about games you play, and she said to me, she said, we play truth or dare. I said, and that ends today. That ends today. No more truth and dare. She said, why? I said, because when you play games like that, people get pushed into a challenge that they don't want to, you know, look bad or, you know, they don't look brave enough. And this is what happens. So if we don't catch this stuff as children, with our children, and we, oh, you know, they'll outgrow it, and you know, it's not really a big thing. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Come on, Elder Natisha. Yes, it is. Look at the fentanyl. Yeah. We don't know why. Somebody do it as a dare? We don't know. What's your thought?
I'm with you because every fruit tree started as a seed, right? So while we're thinking,
oh, this is not a big deal. This is something small. That small thing can turn into a full-blown tree, which is why you can look at our kids, and to your point, Pastor, you see it in the adults. Well, those adults were kids.
Yep.
Those adults are literally kids that never grew up. Those are kids that still grew up with whatever lack existed in them as young people that grew up with them, that defective nature, if you would, that sinful nature that was never attacked, that was never addressed. And this is why. See, we don't understand why we need to be taking our kids to church, because in church we talk about, you're taught about this sinful nature, this evil that is always present, the enemy that would manipulate your emotions and manipulate your ideas and your thoughts, your concepts, your perspectives, and lead you to do things and function in ways that are immoral. And that, when did it become funny to lose a life? When did killing people become funny? When did this person's life is forever gone, and you thought it was funny to put fentanyl in someone's Advil or Tylenol and they die, and that's funny? We have a serious problem. We have a serious problem. He who has an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying to us. We have a problem in the earth. The enemy is running rampant. Evil is running rampant.
Yep. Absolutely. Yes.
The other thing that I wanted to bring to the attention is, remember back in the days, right after the Pledge of Allegiance, the first thing that we did was pray in the school.
Sure.
And now, you know, there was a mandate now, no longer prayer in school. And you see what happens when you take prayer out of the place where it should be, because you do have children who may never ever see the building. We're talking about the church building. So if you didn't have it there, then you did have the introduction within prayer prior to class starting. Now you don't have it, and look what's happening in the schools. It's going from the schools first.
Yep, absolutely, Lady Tamika. Absolutely. Let's get Pastor Kim in on this conversation, because she's in that school building. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Well, thank you. Well, thank you.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Good. But Pastor Kim, we're talking about, you know, Elder Nakisha brought up, well, let's go back. Vivian brought up that there's a hit list that's been formulated, and it's on Facebook. And, you know, some children are paying other children to beat up somebody because they're buck tooth. They're offering $200 for a buck tooth person. If you're a closeted gay person, you know, they're paying to beat this person up. And Elder Nakisha brought up the fact that, hey, you know, the moral compass is off for our children. And we graduated to because the moral compass is off for our adults. They're lacing prescription pills with fentanyl. So someone took something that she thought was safe, and now she's dead. And it was laced with fentanyl. So, you know, we can't help the kids if we, the adults, are all twisted. What's your thought?
You know, it's, y'all know, I'm always going to say we are in our last and evil days. You know, it's crazy, the stuff that is going on. And, you know, and it's unfortunate that, yes, the enemy is targeting our youth, because they're the upcoming generation, you know. And it's so sad when you just see things that were once safe, school, you know, maybe your prescriptions, you know, different things. And now it's like you cannot trust anything or anybody. You know, one of the other educators at my school was telling me about how they have this thing going around now, you know, where if you slap a teacher, you know, they got a whole list of this stuff that they want kids to do. Yes. I mean, when he told me the list of the things that these kids are going around doing, and he was saying how they have to, you know, like address it, you know, or have some kind of meeting, you know, to let these kids know that if you get involved in any of these things, then there's going to be serious consequences. Because, you know, it's like, you know, peer pressure, you know, and it's like the world is in so much chaos and confusion, death and destruction. You know, the other day I had this dream, and the dream was like five people throughout my dream, throughout the night. I dreamed about like five different people dying, and I literally had to wake up and bind up the spirit of death because, I mean, I was like at funerals, and I was like, Lord, what are you saying? He was saying that you're going to see death after death after death after death after death. You know, so it just behooves us to stay so prayerful. We have got to pray without ceasing. This is not a time to let up off of prayer, you know, and consecration, because the enemy is running rapid, and he's coming to kill, to steal, and destroy. But God said we can have life and that more abundantly. So we got to be sober-minded, and we got to beware of the devices of the enemy, because he is going to and fro seeking who he can devour.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I'm listening to, you know, all of these challenges that these kids are putting out, and or at least we think the children are putting out. And, you know, it's, you know, years ago there was a fear. I wouldn't think, I don't care how much you, you know, you challenged or whatever, of going and slapping an adult. It was just a fear. And that's what you were talking about, Elder Nakisha, just this natural, again, oh, Shanti says it's called Slap a Teacher Challenge. And I'm going to tell you something. We've already seen some of these teachers that are unstable. I don't know if these kids want to take their chance go slapping somebody. Because you just may not make it. That's right. You just may not make it as far as you think you're going to make it. So, you know, these right, you know, these teachers are doing stuff to the children before the children can do it to the adults. So you walk up and slap some of these teachers, man, your parent going to be sitting up in court.
Right.
Oh, you're going to be going to a hospital. You really, I really hope that, you know, these children. So this is an amazing, amazing switch that has taken place. And, you know, Pastor Kim always says it, you know, about the enemy coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And, you know, that's exactly what he's doing. He's destroying. Well, Lady Tamika, I want you to know that about a month ago, I read that there are some states who are now putting prayer back into the schools. Somebody listening.
Amen.
Somebody
wonderful.
Listening. I want to bring it as an article and let's talk about it. But, and I forgot how I ended up getting sidetracked. Yes, but they are now. Somebody's waking up, ladies, and they're realizing that, hey, we better get to praying. Because this ain't no joke out here. This is no joke. So before we move into our next segment, I want to talk about this domestic violence. And, you know, Elder Nakisha focuses on the breast cancer awareness, and I focus on the domestic violence situation in October. And, you know, Vivian gave a story about the woman who was beaten by her ex-husband. And when she called 911, he was still beating her while she was on the phone. And the woman mentioned how to protect, you know, the order of protection is useless. Well, how many women have died with the order of protection on the coffee table? I mean, it's just really something that we really don't have control over, even with that piece of paper. Pastor Kim, what's your thought?
Yeah, I mean, nothing, it's just no guarantee in anything anymore, you know. I mean, it's just, you just have to really put your trust and confidence in God and pray that he will continue to cover you in the blood, because it's just a crazy world that we're living in. These people are losing their minds. You know, it's I mean, it's really, really just crazy the day and time that we're living in. You can't even trust the laws anymore. You know, it's like nothing is, you just can't put your trust and confidence in anything or anybody but God.
Absolutely, absolutely. Elder Natisha, what's your thought behind this whole, you know, this story, you know, where you're so out of control that you don't even care that the police are on the phone, you know, which was able to help snag, you know, him because, you know, she's talking and he's doing the same thing. And I'm sure, you know, remember, this is going on recording. So ain't nobody thought you did this. This is something that people were actually listening to. Well, what's your thought?
My thought is that it's sad. It's sad. And again, it's just more proof and more evidence of the evil that is very present in our day. When there's no fear for the authority, there's no fear for the police. Again, because there's a lack of care for life. So not only did he not care about her life, he literally didn't even care about his own life. The fact that while he was beating her, while she's on the phone with the police, is pretty much him saying, I don't even care what happens to me at this point. I'm just going to do what I'm doing to you right now. And again, it's also the reason why with some people who are outside of Christianity and looking in, often, you know, equate Christianity with rules and say that, oh, you know, I can't be saved because there are so many rules, or I can't come to Jesus because of all of these rules. I have to live a certain way. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. And what they don't understand is that it really is, it's not really rules. It's more so about protections that were built into our humanity and built into this structure that God has created for us in order to protect us. So what you're identifying as rules is actually protection. And that protection, you know, it looks like some of the things that God has instituted in his word, like the power of community, you know, like, unfortunately, you know, one of my questions would be, where was her community, right, that would help her knowing that she was kind of in this situation? And I know that, listen, the church can only do but so much. We can only do but so much. But there is power in community, and I just kind of want to emphasize that in this as well, that when you have community, you can make people aware of the danger that exists in your life, and so that even when the cops can't help you, or even when, you know, there's no fear for authority, if you have a community of people that can grab the two individuals and try to do some work, try to talk, try to pray, try to do something, to me, that will be more impactful and effective than just calling the police.
Absolutely, absolutely, because there would be a consistent involvement. You're absolutely right. You know, the police are only called when things get quote-unquote dangerous or life-threatening. No, but you're right. You know, if we made it our business to not only that, but to put things in place, you know, we do have the shelters and we have the this and we have the that, but we do have to step it up. Lady Tamika, what's your thought?
I want to chime in on the other side of that form of community, whereas, you know, the church is the extra village. So let's just look at this man's life as childhood. This didn't just happen out of the blue. There were signs that there were some issues with anger and anger management that somebody along the line could have been able to minister to. You know, maybe another man could have been able to see the signs of that and help this young man so that he wouldn't get to the point where now you're exhibiting your anger. Everything that happens to you, she becomes the brunt or the end result of that, you know. And the thing is that anger gets to a point where it's blind rage. So I don't care what's done to me. I don't care what's done to you. I'm going to exact my anger, my rage on you until I'm done, until I'm finished, until my emotion, until whatever it is that I'm feeling at this point has been pushed on you. And so my thing is, that's where we keep talking about the church, because this, the church is essential. Those other village members, when mom can't do it, you know, there are other people that are there. That's that shelter that you have to protect your child so that he doesn't become an adult that gets to this point that exacts his anger on somebody else, whether it's a woman, whether it's a child, because we're often talking about both. And you know, the church is essential. And I just don't understand why people don't see it, because it is that village that helps you so that when you can't do it, there are other people. And then, you know, my thing is, it works on both behalf, because she might be able to reach out. God may lead her to a person that can help her get out of that situation. So, you know, again, the end result is definitely God.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I have a tagline, and I say, big messes were once little messes. This is the stuff, like I said earlier, people thought, you know, when he pushed the little girl down, oh, you know, don't hit girls, you know, but, you know, that's as far as it went. You're not paying attention to some other things. You're not paying attention to the who, the what, the when, the where, the why. You just brought up, Lady Tamika, about the anger issue and how long, you know, it takes to diffuse that anger. What happened when he was a kid and, you know, he stood brewing? And, and you walked away and said, oh, you know, he'll get over it. Just give him some time to calm down.
Right.
And you didn't get him no help. You know, these are the things that it manifests into. So amazingly, you know, we're talking about, you know, a lot of things. We're talking about the young lady who is tolerant of it, you know, the woman. I stayed. Don't ask me why. If you do, I'll just have to. No, but all jokes aside, you know, no, you stay. And, you know, you stay because you think you can change people. You think people will change. You know, so you're dealing with both mentalities. What, you know, what makes you stay? You know, there's a big war going on with people who are not as sensitive to domestic violence as they need to. And the war is, why didn't she leave? And we're going to cover that this month, because Domestic Violence Month is October, the awareness. And we're going to cover that, you know, why didn't she leave? And, you know, this was her ex. Woo, her ex. So, you know, a lot of times when we do leave, it ain't all that safe, because where are we leaving to? So, like you said, like you all have said, you know, this is something that, you know, this individual needs help. This ain't no, you know, passive and, you know, things that we can just ignore. And like Elder and Artisha said, and we're talking about, there's no fear of authority. He didn't care that she was on the phone with the police, because I can promise you there has never been a fear of authority in him. So mom and daddy may not have been able to do it. What'd you say?
There's also, like, and you talking about that, there's another thought that I have that I think also adds to this, and it's the gender role thing, right? The roles of the gender. And so when we talk about why wasn't his anger addressed as a young man, there's a false sense of manhood, right, associated with anger. It's almost expected that men kind of deal with emotions or process their emotions differently than women. Therefore, that anger isn't necessarily an alert that something is wrong. It's
associated.
Aggression is associated with the hunting, right? Which is associated with manhood. And so for the man to be the hunter, to be aggressive, like all of that is associated with manhood, and we often miss those cues in our men and even our grown men in the church and in the world and at the workplace, that aggression that can often be seen, men getting angry, going from 0 to 10 immediately, and you're saying, wait, man of God. Like, don't you think that there's something that should, that should be yielded to God? But there is something that's associated with manhood, that anger and that aggression.
Absolutely. And
I was going to say, too, you know, I think that I feel like, you know, because we're so close to the end,
you know, the Bible talks about how men's hearts will wax cold. And when you have that cold and that stony heart, you know, your heart is so cold, it's so hard, nobody can tell you anything. You know, you can't be redirected. It's to the point of, you know, even when you see, you know, this gay and lesbianism, you know, that spirit is so strong, you know, it doesn't care what you say, you know, the spirit of deceitfulness, you know, how the enemy, many will be deceived, and we see the Bible fulfilling itself. Yes, things were always going on, but we see that we are just that much closer, and that's why God is saying, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, because this wickedness is in the land, and that's why the land can't be healed, because people aren't being so deceived. They feel like it's okay for me to be gay. It's okay for me to marry a woman. It's okay for me to be crazy. It's okay for me to do fentanyl. It's okay for me to lay somebody's drugs or somebody's stuff and take them out of here, because they don't have a heart. Their hearts are cold. They don't care. They don't care about a human life. They don't care about killing somebody. They don't care about killing a woman. You know, it's crazy.
Absolutely.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, absolutely right. That's where we've moved into, where God said, you know, I brought it up here before you got on, and that this is what happens with rejection. You know, you reject me because your hearts are cold, your minds are turned off, and it's an amazing, like you said, you know, these things have been lurking all along, but now it's surfacing. Now it's really manifesting itself into this earth where we can't run from it or ignore it. Oh, this has been an exciting and exhilarating conversation. But it's techie time. So we're going to put a little pin in this talk, and we're going to come back with our focus today. And let's say good morning to Dwayne. Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, wonderful ladies. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good, good, good.
I
just got two things to talk about today. One of the things, and both of these items I put on the Coach for Christian Life Facebook page, and as always, you can all give me a call at for Dwayne McLeese at 646-361-4698. I'll repeat the number afterwards. This is in regards to a term called digital footprint. Digital footprint is when you send emails back and forth, when you go to the web pages, when you post things on social media like Facebook and Instagram and things like that. It's called a digital footprint. Anytime that you're connected to the internet and you're transferring information
sorry to interrupt you.
Yes,
wherever you are, you are extremely choppy. We can hardly hear you. Is there another place you can go to?
Really? Yeah. Let me try. Hold on. Okay, is that better?
Woo, is it better? Okay, continue. Thank you.
Okay. How about now? Is that better?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. I was saying in reference to digital footprint. Digital footprint is whenever you go on the internet and you transfer information like your name, address, or you're sharing emails back and forth, or you're visiting web pages and things like that. That's called digital footprint. That stuff is out there, and it's going to be out there forever, so to speak. There is a website that I checked out called Say Mine, S-A-Y-M-I-N-E, Say Mine. And it's a legit website where it actually goes into your email, checks out your inbox information, and pulls up the website that you need to visit or that have not visited that has your personal information on. And it allows you to unsubscribe from sites. And it's all free.
Wow.
So I don't do paid. But it's all free. And you can kind of get a control over your digital footprint and what sites that you want to know who you are. Case in point, like if you're dealing with your bank checking account or with your bank, of course you want to correspond with them back and forth and everything. So you would keep that and you'll subscribe to that. If you pay your bills online, like Con Edison or things like that, and you know you want to always subscribe to that. But sometimes these organizations and companies, they sell your data to third-party people without your permission. And those are the places where you want to unsubscribe from, where you want to delete an account from. So it's always best to every few months to go to the Say Mine and just go through the process of looking up to see who has your digital footprint in their possession and to remove it. So again, if you need some advice or need some help with anything, contact Dwayne McLean at 646-361-4698.
All right. Woo, that's powerful information. That is really, really crucial information. Thank you so much, Dwayne, for dropping by and helping us understand that we got a whole lot of other footprints out here that we don't even see. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much, sis.
All right. Have a blessed day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
The morning without some dew. Spend yours with Pastor Steph.
Good morning to you. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. It is Wow Wednesday over here, and I thank you so much for joining us. We have our women of worship with us right now. We have our elder and our teacher more, our lady Tamika Evans-Jones, and our pastor Tim Brooks. And we've been talking about Vivian's news, her socially conscious news, and we're going to move into our next segment, and we're talking today about prayer. And the ladies have been mentioning this throughout their conversation in response to our domestic violence issues, in response to the challenges that's going on with TikTok and the children about the fentanyl-laced prescription pills. Prayer is the key. And we're talking this morning because about this prayer thing is because prayer changes things. And when we can't seem to do whatever else that we need to do, prayer is the place to go. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right.
So we're starting with, you know, we're talking the ways to pray for your child, the things that you need to pray, the areas you need to pray for your child. And we've spoken about this before, but we need to refresh our memories, our thoughts. We need to nail this thing one more time. And Elder Natisha, I want to start with you, please. We need to pray that our children have faith.
Yes, I mean, faith is the substance of things
hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? It's our ability to hold on to our belief in God, our belief in good, our belief in the necessity of human life, our belief and our faith in the fact that God has a plan for us. I really do believe that if our children had a clear sense of identity, if they had a clear sense of the reason why God created them, the reason why God allowed them to be brought into the earth, if they had a sense of identity, if they had faith in their identity and the God who has called them into existence, then I think that we would see a little more care with their life. We would see a little more responsibility displayed in their actions and in their choices. Faith helps to guide our choices. And so we need to be praying for our children to have faith so that their choices can be impacted by what they believe.
All righty, all righty. Wonderful thought. Lady Tamika, we need to pray for that our children have faith. What's your thought?
Correct. The absence of that, knowing that God is going to take care of whatever it is that I'm going through, especially as a youth, transfers into adulthood, you know. But even prior to getting that, that's why a lot of, you know, we hear about youth taking out their own lives or taking out someone else's life because there's that lack of hope. There's that, well, you know, I'm not going to make it till tomorrow. And I remember even in my youth, there was that mindset that I'm not going to make it to 20. You know, I'm not going to make it to 16. I'm not going to make it to 20 because there's no hope, you know, that lack of hope of knowing that God is going to take care of it and that whatever situation that you're going through, he's got it, you know. And so we definitely need to instill faith in our children, and not only our children, but those people that we come in contact with, because you never know what these little people are going through now.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pastor Kim, what does praying for our child to have faith mean?
You know, it's so important that we, you know, when we train up our children in the way they should go, the things that we teach them, it won't depart from them. And faith is something that we need to help them to understand that even without faith, it's impossible to please God. So in just growing up and understanding that, you know, you're not pleasing God if you don't have faith, if you don't trust God. So instilling that one thing, instilling that scripture about having the faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you know, all you need is a little bit of faith, and teaching and praying for our children to always remember this very vital thing about faith. It's not about what you see. It's not about what you're going through. It's not about whatever circumstance or situation that you might be in, whatever age that you might be in, whether you're a toddler up until, you know, you become an adult. You need to understand that you got to always let your prayer be that, Lord, I trust you. Even when I cannot trace you, I don't understand what I'm going through or what I'm in right now, but I trust you, because faith is saying, I trust God. And that constantly has to be our prayer. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. You know, continue to just, you know, instill prayer and faith is power. It's power in those two things, prayer and faith.
All right, all right. Lady Tamika, we have to pray for our children's health.
Hmm. Yeah. Mama and daddy's eyes can't always see everything. Just because you cook everything a certain kind of way doesn't mean that when they leave their home, they're going to eat the right things, do the right things, you know, for their body, their vessel. You know, and it is important that, you know, it does start at home. However, there are so many different introductions here and there to our child. And so it is important that we definitely pray for their physical health, not only their spiritual health. We all listen to the broadcast. We talk about mental, emotional, financial, spiritual. All of that is important because it all plays a role. And so it is important that you pray for that, because when little Johnny or little Jane leaves your house, you don't know what's going on. And so it is very important that you pray, God, take care of my child in the avenues that I can't see.
All right, all right. Let's start on that one. Oh, different angle, different angle. Pastor Kim, we're praying for our child's health. Why?
Absolutely. You know, it's important that we pray for their health, you know, because, you know, in life, you know, throughout the generations, a lot of times some things are hereditary, you know, and if high blood pressure or what have you might be something that runs through the family, we have to pray, and being that praying mother, you know, we have to, it's power in our prayers as mothers, you know, to intercede and to bind up, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes, any sickness and any disease that might be carried on throughout our forefathers or throughout the generations, you know, that might try to hit our children. So, you know, we just have to pray and trust God that those sicknesses, whether it be cancer, diabetes, or what have you, you know, we just have to pray and cover them, you know, as their covering and their parents.
Absolutely. Elder Nitesha, we need to cover our children's health in our prayer.
Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You don't belong to yourself. You were bought with a price, right? Like, our bodies, we have a responsibility to respect our bodies because it's the temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells in. And so we take those scriptures for granted, kind of just skim over those real quick, but it's important. How do we effectively continue to build the kingdom of God, do what God has called us to do with sickness in our bodies? And so we do have a responsibility to, along with so many other important lessons and legacy gifts that we give to our children, is what I like to call them, legacy gifts. I think caring about our bodies, being mindful of our weight, being mindful of what we eat, being mindful of how much we eat, right? Like, we don't want to be gluttonous. Like, are we just eating to be eating? How are we managing stress? Are we using food as a form of, you know, stress management? And that's unhealthy, right? Because now that replaces where God desires to be. God wants to be the place that we can come to and we can discuss the things that hurt us. We can discuss the things that we are concerned about, the things that are worrying us, the things that are causing anxiety. God wants to be that source for you. And anything that you use as a coping mechanism, you are putting, that's a form of idolatry. We are putting that in front of God. And that was a big, big lesson for me, because early on, food was a coping mechanism for me. I would literally, and I didn't even catch the fact that I was overeating because I was stressed, or I would overindulge in sweets because I wanted to increase those endorphins, right? Because I wanted to feel good. And so in doing that, I wasn't praying. I wasn't going to God and actually addressing the source of my concern, my issue, my anxiety is. And so being healthy, and my sister said it, Tamika, you know, addressing that, it deals with all of our health, our mental health, our physical health, and our overall well-being. God does care about those things. I just want to throw that out there to someone who thinks that, you know, because we talk about the spiritual realm so much that we think that God is not concerned with our emotions. He is. He's very concerned about our emotions. He's concerned about our mental health. He's very concerned about us, the whole person, you know. So just want to encourage someone to know that today, that it is God's will that you would be in good health and prosper, even as your soul prospers.
Amen, 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 ladies, amen. Oh, we talked about this. We kind of glossed over it.
over the past couple of weeks, but we need to be praying for our children's friendships. Oh, and I remember when we kind of glossed over this, Pastor Kim, you had a level of passion about this friend thing. So why are we praying for our children's friendships? Pastor Kim, come on, give it to us.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. Can you repeat that?
I was saying, you know, a few weeks ago we glossed over the fact that, you know, our friends, our children's friends, and the relationship that they have with their friends. And you are a bit passionate about that, understandably so. But we're talking today about praying specifically for their friendships. Why? Why is that so important?
You know, because it's important that they understand that who you're yoking up with is important. You know, you want to hook yourself up with people that are positive, people that are going places in life. You want to connect yourself up. You know, it's just like it when you get ready to get married, you don't want to be unevenly yoked. So therefore, you know, it's important that people or our children should hook up with like-minded people, people that want something, you know, because, you know, I find myself even, you know, like with my daughter, you know, looking at her circle, you know, because it's like you become who you hang around, you know, and you always have to be the type of person that leads by example. You want to be a good role model. You want to be a good example. You want to be the one, you want to be an asset, not a liability, in whatever relationship that you are in. And the same, likewise, with the people that you're hanging around, you want them to be an asset to your friendship, because you want people that are adding to you, not taking away from you. So this is why, as parents, you know, as they're the ones that spiritually, physically, emotionally impart into their lives, we want to, you know, encourage them to be careful, to watch your circle. You know, watch the people that you're hanging around. You know, be mindful of those people, because everybody that's smiling, you know, smiling faces tell lies, and everybody that you think is your friend is not always your friend. They don't always mean you well.
Ah, wonderful start on that one. Elder Nitesha, praying for the friendship. Woo! Are you over there talking to the mute button, Elder Nitesha?
Oh, shucks, yep. I'm sorry. I think Pastor Kim hit it. You know, we've talked about it before. We have a responsibility. I don't even know how everything I think we say in this particular segment will kind of go back to that point of, you know, we have a responsibility to cover our children. And what does covering them look like? Covering them looks like being spiritually sensitive and aware to who they are with, who they are around, in order to guard what God has put in them. And so I can't talk about your friend. I don't know what their parents do for them. I don't know what they believe God has called them to. I don't know, right, what their purpose and destiny is. But I sought the Lord for you. I sought the Lord to have understanding about who you are from a child. I've been praying Amen. Over you from the first five Amen. Seconds of your life. I've been praying over you to determine who God has called you to be. And so now, am I going to allow a friend that potentially could be sent into your life to derail you? Could be sent by the enemy to persuade Amen. You to move you into another realm. God forbid. No, I have a responsibility to cover you in prayer and rebuke and bind every friend, every influence that comes against the thing that God has revealed to me is on the inside of you.
Amen.
And so yes, we coming for the friends, because I need to know, friend, what is your purpose? What is your assignment in my child's life? What's your purpose here? Are you to aid her in who she is and where she's going, or are you coming as a distraction? Who are you, and what spirit be ye of?
Amen.
Hey, girl.
Oh, my. We coming for a friend. Let's get it on.
Yes, oh.
Woo! Lady Tamika, we going for the friend.
So I want to use this as a visual. So for this period of time, for let's just say 9 months, I created or I allow God to create in me a beautiful thing. So now this beautiful thing, I'm looking at it and I'm helping it to grow, and I'm making it almost as if it's a tapestry. So it's my work, you know, my energy, my time. I'm sitting there talking to you certain days, and you know, I'm praying for you, you know, so that you'll continue to grow and blossom. And here comes this thing out of nowhere. And its assignment is to destroy the thing that God created in me, that I watched blossom, that I watched grow, that I watched God cultivate. And now I don't know who you are, but your assignment is to destroy that thing that God created in me. And so we have to guard our children. You know, I remember even in my childhood, you know, I'd be asleep in the middle of the night. Mommy would take some oil and slather it on my head, and she would pray for hours. And I'm like, I'm trying to sleep. But that thing kept me from now. You know, I'm an adult in my 50s, and I think back to that time, and I thank God for those moments. I thank God because Mom prayed for me, you know, because she didn't know that while I was going out, you know, the things that I was attaching myself to, and those things attach, and we bring them home. And so it's important that you cultivate, you know, that nurturing spirit, and allow God to do what needs to be done in your child so that that blossoming thing will continue to blossom, and anything that's not of God can be cut off immediately. And if not immediately, then as the child grows, it'll automatically detach itself.
You know what, ladies? I'm going to leave you right there. These were three very powerful, oh my goodness, very powerful statements that were made, you know, in regards to praying for our children's friendship. And I don't want anything stepping on that. So I'm going to leave it right there. We're going to continue this conversation next week, God's fast. And, you know, just like the lady said, you know, we've covered this stuff, but you know what? We don't know who's listening today, who was not listening last week, or who listened last year. And this is something that they need to get today. And we give God thanks that it's still fresh. It's still fresh. It's not stale. It's not old. It's not molded. And you ladies are still on fire about this particular topic. So I'm going to say thank you so much for what you've invested into this conversation this morning. And God spares. We will be back at this next week, Wednesday. Have a blessed day, ladies. Thank you so much.
You too.
Thank you. Blessed day, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. We have, right before us, we've reached the time that we get that faith over fear conversation going. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene B. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today and everyone?
I'm on fire. They just put some fire underneath my feet, and I pray for my kids. Ooh, baby, I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Amen. I'm doing well.
Well, I don't want to surprise you this week. So we're going to stay in the vein of praying for our child. And we're going to talk about that faith over fear in the whole regards to being a parent and prayer. What you got for us today?
Well, far as the fear part of not knowing when they are secretive and you don't have that conversation with them and you don't see who they are around, and where that you can see the changes in them of going down the wrong street, we will say, and where that they will not be able to, if you're not praying, that you won't be able to snatch them back. Amen, because we're working, we're so busy, we're, you know, and then when we're home, we're tired and we're sleeping and they're raising themselves. because of that disconnect of with your child. And that's very fearful of all the things that has been talked about today, you know, that has been stated even with these different challenges that they are having. So that is really a big fear of where you are with your child, you know. But if you planted in the seed in them, and as everyone had spoken, my sisters, of being able to pray over them, continue to pray over them, continue to have that conversation, continue, because, you know, they get a certain age and, you know, they ain't got time for us, but you got to make time, you know, you got to stop, you know, and be able to be available. And to go to have a date night with them, even if it's not going out or just, you know, sitting down. I remember when my kids was home, once a month, we used to sit down and have open conversation, and I would not I let them be able to talk freely, you know, of things that they thought that I was doing wrong or whatever. And then that's when I found our relationship became to get closer, you know, and with that, then once they got all of them past 35, now they'd be like, Mom, okay, we don't do that no more. And I'd be like, yep, I'm being in your business, you know what I mean, because of the fact that I'm still want to know, you know, who's coming in and out of your house. But they'd be like, that's the it right there. My house. And I'd be like, I don't care, you know. So I every now and then look to see who's on their page and, you know, who they're interacting with, you know, because I'm still praying for you. I'm still praying for my grandkids, you know, because you don't know who is coming in, and they might not target you. They might target your children, you know. So we have to continue to, even though they're grown, they move out, have their own family, continue to pray for them because they're still your child, you know. And, you know, and we are charged that to cover our children. So we want to still be able to pray for them and teach them, you know, about the word of God, you know. And I get on them all the time. Okay, now y'all reading that Bible. I tell y'all, walk around the house, speak it out loud, you know, and they be laughing at me. But my granddaughter is the one that pick up and keep her mom, you know, really focus into the word of God. And I thank God for that. She's 12 now, you know, because she'd be like, Grandma said, you know, we got to do this. So they are praying more and watching more. And I noticed that a lot of their friends, well, my oldest daughter, a lot of her friends that she used to be with, she don't anymore because they weren't going anywhere. They weren't doing anything, you know, and they complain all the time. And she'd be like, but God has told you. And, you know, and sometimes they shock me, you know, because of the fact that they have heard me pray. They have seen me pray, you know, and I had them to get to that peace, you know. So covering them where they teach them how to cover their children, you know, and to be able to, as we say, to generational things, you know, aware that, you know, if you ain't praying and you ain't seeking God and you don't know him for yourself, there's no need for you to stop at this address. You know, maybe you meant to go next door, you know. So I always want to keep them covered, you know, and that'd be our fear, you know, because of these things now in these schools, they're letting any and everybody, even be teachers, you know, or teacher's aide on, or the after school, you know, of how they are interacting with our children. You know, we have to be so careful. And I really thank God for you saying that, you know, they're starting to put prayer back in, you know. So that was my thing of about the faith over fear today. Continue to teach your children. Continue to oil them. I do that a lot, too. When I go over to one of my daughter's house, I'm always, she don't even know it, I go and put the oil on my grandkids. She'd be like, Mom, stop frying, making them look like fried chicken. I'd be like, but I want to cover them. I know that I taught you how to do it, but I want to cover them until they get to the age they can do it themselves, like my granddaughter. So, yes, we got to continue to pray for them. We got to continue to teach them how. We got to continue to watch, even when they're adults, who they are around. And that's what I do with my children, even though they don't like it. But they're used to it now. Okay, just go ahead and do what you're going to do, because us telling you no ain't going to work. So I just tell them all the time, and, you know, just continue to watch and put that oil across your door to make sure, you know, who's coming in and out so the evil will stay out. amen, and be able to anoint your house and know that those spirits are real and that they can be prayed out. And that is my faith over fear on today.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlotte. Thank you so much. We pray you have a blessed day.
You do the same.
Thank you. Ah, we got our fill today. Got our fill of blessed word today. And it has come to the moment where we hold hands and we hold hearts and we go before the Lord on a united level. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, saying thank you. Thank you because you just breathe the breath of life into our bodies this morning, God, and just say, get up. And we got up with a purpose. We got up on purpose. We got up for a purpose, God, and we say thank you for choosing us. Thank you for choosing us to be a minister and to expound on your word, to direct others, to counsel others. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you have awakened us to be hearers. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we could be doing anything. We could be listening to, you know, the music. We could be listening, you know, to some other podcast. We could be listening to other people speaking. We could be listening to the traffic noise. We could be listening to anything. But we're listening for you and we're listening to you, God. And we thank you, God, for everything that you have invested in us this morning. God, you've even taken the time to make us aware that even our invisible technological footprint is happening. And that's the kind of God you are. You said I would never leave you nor forsake you. And you have shown us just in these 2 hours every day. If we just think about and focus on the 2 hours Monday through Friday, how much you invest, how much you have proven that you will not leave us nor forsake us. Just even the techie talk is imperative because that's a part of our life that it is major. We live in this technological world and so do our children. So this helps us to understand what we are walking in. This helps us to understand that we need to pay attention to what the children are doing, what we think we see, what's on the screen, what else might be going on. So we say thank you. Thank you for taking the time to invest in us, God, just to give us that little piece right there. And Lord, today we're lifting up the child. The child. Your child. These children belong to you before they belong to us. You said that I shaped you while you were still in your mother's womb. That right there lets us know that we ain't got no control over what happens before you do. And we're thanking you, God. We're thanking you for your word that says, spare the rod and spoil the child. You know, God, we thank you for all of the written word that you have given us to help guide us as to how we need to raise our children, how we need to be a part of raising the children, even if we don't have our own. We ask you right now, God, just to bring every child in your arms. We're thanking you, God, because you have covered them to this point. You know, for those of us who haven't even prayed for our children, you've covered. Your word says the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. How could any of us complain about where was you and how come you and what happened when you didn't? All the things that you do for the child should silence us. When they didn't get hit by a car, when they tried the drug and just died, when they were in the store, you know, stealing, and you did not allow them to fall into certain traps. Children have been killed by managers and owners of a store. So God is out there. The danger, as Pastor Kim always says, that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And we're watching him do it.
And we're praying, God, for all the parents who don't think they need you. We're praying for the parents, God, who said, you know, I was dragged to church, so therefore I can't do this no more. Thank you, God, because they don't even realize that that seed was planted in them. And there are certain things that they will do and they won't do that they don't even have control over. Because you said, I'm going through the back door. That if you just impart a word into my child, that I'm going to, there's a certain level. I don't care what they do, but there's a peace. That seed is still there. So we say thank you. Thank you and thank you. Because you have always been there, even when we thought you weren't. We thank you when our kids get behind the wheel and they go from point A to point B. When they're going into these schools, God, and they don't know what's lurking over them. Thank you for the powers of to be that you touched into realizing that we need you in the schools. That all of the chaos that's going on, part of that is because we've etched you out. We've rejected you. And there is a consequence to rejection. So we say thank you, God, for just being there when we can't. Once they leave the house, that's it. That's our limit. Thank you, Father. Thank you for just helping us to understand some things that we didn't even think about today. Thank you for the new conversation that took place yesterday. But it's new to whoever's tuning in today. Or maybe they didn't hear something that was said the last time about their child or what they need to do for their child. Or maybe you've given them some growth and increase in their thinking. So what they heard back then sounds very different now. Thank you. Thank you for always investing. Sometimes so slight we don't even realize it. And sometimes so major we don't want it. Thank you. For those of us who know the power of Christ, we especially thank you. Because it's the only way we made it till today, to this moment, is through your prayers. The prayers that you give us. Ooh. I think a lot of us realize that the Spirit of the Lord delivers what we should say. So we thank you. Oh, you didn't just work it all out. Thank you, God. And we pray that every listener, every hearer will ultimately be a doer. Thank you, Father, for loving us in a special way. We give you thanks. We give you the glory and we give you the honor. So rightly be your name. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. What a day, what a day, what a day, what a day. You know, makes up for us not being on yesterday. Ooh, I like that. You know, we talked about praying for faith. And, you know, we understand clearly that faith is something that it grows. You know, the more God does, the more we have faith. You know, I've had people that have asked me, you know, Pastor Steph, can you pray for my faith? No, I can't. I can't. That's something that's inherent in you. You gotta make sure that you take all the things that God has done for you. Because see, I can't tell you that. I can remind you of it. But I can't tell you about it. I can't tell you what to do with it necessarily. Because if you can't look and see how great God has been, then there's a part that might be missing from me. So my prayer is not for your faith, but my prayer is that you pay attention. And Shanti said a couple last week, that you pay attention to God. That you don't overlook the things that God is doing. That you don't overlook the things that God has done. You know, so people are kind of resentful. And I remember one time the question came up. If somebody did something for me, what am I supposed to do? Be grateful and forever? Yes! That's part of your faith. Because what that person did helped to bring you to tool till today, right here where you're standing. If it wasn't for that bridge, you wouldn't be here right now. So, of course, you got to be grateful. See, when you cut that off, you're really cutting off God, because it was God that was the one who provided what you had. So the day you say, I'm tired of always having to feel grateful, you're not really talking to that person about that person. You're really talking about God. Because, see, we can't do anything that God does not put on our heart. There ain't nothing coming from anywhere but from God. The word says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. So that's what we have to teach our children in, you know, in the morning and noon and night, just to watch God. Watch God. Watch God. Let that be a faith builder. So we can push our children, because they don't understand that. But when it gets to adulthood, we're going to have to shift that prayer a little bit and help them understand some stuff. We talked about praying for our children's health. You know, we were talking, you know, I was talking to somebody, and I said, you know, these kids ain't as healthy as we used to be. Children are born with allergies. Children are born with more birth defects than before. You know, if you sneeze too hard, the kids come out wrong, you know. And I think about my mother and the lifestyle that she was living when she was carrying me. And I'm like, yo, I still got it all together. I have a grandmother who was diagnosed as a schizophrenic. And sometimes I wonder about her kids. But I'm looking at me, I look at mine, and I give God thanks, because, you know, when you pray for your child's health, do you realize that it could, that sometimes when it skips a generation, sometimes when it just bypasses you, or bypasses, you know, my grandmother was a bad diabetic, and I have a cousin who came after me. She's in the next generation. She's on my kid's level. She was born with such a deficiency of insulin that she has to wear a pump. And she had to wear a pump since she was 12, when this diabetes was out of control at the age of 12. Since then, she's had a pump. And part of her not being able to be a mother and, you know, to you know, be pregnant and things like that comes from that deficiency. So this is what I'm saying, you know, when we talk about praying for our children's health. See, we don't know what we're ultimately asking God to do. We don't know the unforeseen things when we give birth. For 12 years, she was fine, quote unquote, and showed her mother thought she was fine. And then all of a sudden. So we know that these things, this couldn't have been working all, you know, at 100% all along. So when we're praying for our children and we become a little resentful that we got to, you know, go to God for one more thing, look, think about these kind of things, praying for the children's health. And we're talking about praying for friendships. And I've always got on this broadcast and told you, my mama said, you ain't got no blankety blank friends. And I say to God, I said, thank you. Thank you for teaching me that young in life. Because I was able to navigate through life with God watching over, because I had a praying grandmother as well. And he protected me and helped me understand I didn't have to be friends with everybody. You know, the little kids say, oh, that's my friend. You know, so they come home from school and they say, well, so-and-so threw my milk out. And they said, well, who? You know, you all up in arms. Who threw your milk out? My friend. Well, wait a minute now. We're going to have a conversation about what a friend does and what a friend doesn't do. And I'm looking at the relationship and the conversations that I'm having with my granddaughter, and I'm like, oh, I'm at this again? You know, my girls didn't go through this. But then I have to also understand that my granddaughter doesn't have a praying mother. So now it's up to auntie and mama to pray, especially auntie number one, because auntie knows the power of prayer. I know the power of prayer. See, that's what happens when we're praying, because when it skips a generation and those parents aren't praying parents, you become the parent. Just like Pastor Charlotte just got finished saying, it's not the daughter that has the her daughter anointing is grandma. So this is what we have when we're praying for friendship. You know, just like Pastor Charlton, I'm looking to see who their friends are. Elder Natisha, man, you can hear the passion in her voice today. Yeah, when we're raising girls, I'm gonna tell you something. That's something right there. I stay, as they say, I stay on the wall for. I'm like, not only girlfriends, but all these boys they hook up with, all these males they hook up with. Because, you know, you always have the saying from the guys, the older guys that say, men don't want to just be friends. They always after something in the background. So there's something for us to pray for, especially if you got girls. Well, you know what? I'm going to switch that up, especially if you got some boys, too, because these are some wicked girls. They're about as wicked and as broke as the day is long. And your son hooking up with one of these wicked girls with ulterior motives and, you know, something on her heart and she doesn't mean him no good, you're going to have to pray for more than the friend. And if we're teaching our children to be friends first, oh, you got to get to praying. Because before he becomes a boyfriend, before he becomes a girlfriend, we need to pray over that friendship. Because we're trusting that they're following what we say. We you know, Shanti told me to share stuff, but I'm going to share this one. You know, to stop hooking up, to tell the church, tell the females, stop hooking up with these people. Stop doing all this long talking. And she said, I got it. Well, oh my, and that's not the first time or the last time that I've heard it. I'm just going out to dinner. That's why you need to get the phone. Because what they don't see, as Pastor Kim always says, as the lurking, as you know, the lady spoke about it a lot today, just that spirit that lurks. You know, I always tell the congregation, your feet can't go everywhere. You can't go up into everybody's house. I don't care how nice they seem. Because the spirit that person carries is the dominating spirit over the home. If that ain't a praying person, ain't no prayer going on in that home, and you walk up in that house uncovered, what do you think you have the potential of walking out with? Yeah, think about it. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous game that we played, but God covered us. And I remember my mother, who was not a praying mother, but took us to church. I remember her always saying, can we go over to so-and-so's house? She said, for what? We're just going to sit and talk. You can sit and talk in your own house. Thank you, Mom. Thank you. So more of us need to be saying, you need to sit in your own house. You know what, we've come into a place where people just say, oh, you know, go ahead, and, we don't even know the parents. We don't know what the parents do. You know, we talked about that spending the night. Well, guess what? Spending the night is extra. Just visiting is enough to endanger you going over to that friend's house. So, you know, we are really, really, really at a point in our life where we're going to have to learn the power of prayer. We can't ignore it. We can't dismiss it. We can't downplay it. And that's one of the things that, you know, I always talk about. And I'm like, listen, you know what? This is why we must be godly individuals. We must be godly parents. Because if we're not godly parents, we can't pray the same way over our children. You know, when this is I pray, that's just hope. That's just a false sense of hope. That's just what you heard. But see, when we pray as godly parents and people of God, we know the power of prayer. Let's work on it. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew who always comes through big time for us. I want to thank you for hanging out with us and listening and keeping us company and being someone who can bear witness to what God is giving out today.
please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow is Therapeutic Thursday. All we get to hear from is Courtney Lee Smith. Remember from Monday? Oh, she's back tomorrow. So we are looking forward to having her on. So when we wake up, God's Spirit, say that prayer and log on to Due Time with Pastor Steph. Until then, God bless you and I love you.